When God is left out of the picture, it always leads to disastrous results. Maybe we can we have that, Jacob? Can we have that up on the screen? When God is left out of the picture, it always leads to disastrous results. Folks, that's true when it comes to a country, a nation. You know, the nation that forgets God, he will turn it into hell. It's true in a society as people live together in a nation. When you forget God, it leads to disastrous results. It's true in an individual's life. If an individual leaves God out, it will always lead to disastrous results. It's true in a family, in a school system, and even, listen, even in the church. When God is left out of the picture, it always leads to disastrous results. Would you do something for me right now? Would you turn to your neighbor and tell them right there? Tell them that. When God is left out of the picture, it always leads to disastrous results. Go ahead. Tell. Come on. Oh, I see somebody up here. Somebody up here needs to hear that. There you go. Turn around. When God is left out of the picture, it always leads to disastrous results. The year was 1979. I had just graduated from Trinity Evangelical Divinity School. And I had met with a group of men that had come up to Chicago from this area. I had the opportunity to spend some time with them at Moody Bible Institute's Pastors Conference. And they invited me to come down and candidate for a position as associate pastor in a church in Cuyahoga Falls. So I came down and I met with that church. I flew into the Akron-Canton Airport, and the pastor of that church picked me up. And I spent several days with that church, and I was able to preach at the church and met with the board at the church, and they extended a call to me to come down to be pastor of that church. And I accepted that call. Linda was unable to travel with me down to the church because she was pregnant with our first child, and she was not able to come with me, but I accepted the call to that church, and then I began to look for housing. I was going to come down, and Linda wasn't here, and that was kind of hard because I had to go out and find a home for us. But one of the ladies in the church was a realtor, and she drove me around to show me different houses. I remember the first time I saw it. I couldn't believe my eyes. It was huge. And I said, "What's that? What is that?" And this lady said to me, "Oh, that's Rex's Tower." I remember the first time I saw that thing. It's Rex's Tower. And then she told me the story about the televangelist, Rex Humbard, who had began to build this tower. On top of it was supposed to be a restaurant. And they got to a certain stage in building this tower, and she said, but because of legal matters, they were unable to finish the tower. And 40 years now, 40 plus years, you can still go up to State Road. I was up there Friday. It's still there. It's still there. And it's unfinished. Unfinished. Rex's Tower. When I saw that tower, two scriptures came to my mind. The one is found in the Gospels. In Luke chapter 14, Jesus said, "For which one of you, when he wants to build a tower, does not first sit down and calculate the cost to see if he has enough to complete it? Otherwise, when he has laid a foundation and is not able to finish, all who observe it begin to ridicule him, saying, 'This man began to build and was not able to finish.'" And then he goes on to say, or they'll say, what is that? No, it's not in there, but that was one scripture that came to my mind right away. The other scripture, the sight of that unfinished tower reminded me of, is in our text this morning. Would you take your Bibles and open them up to Genesis chapter 11? Genesis chapter 11, then construction of another unfinished tower. The Tower of Babel. Now, as you turn there, let me remind you where we are in the book of Genesis. Genesis 1 through 11 records the primitive history of man. These chapters cover minimally 2,000 years and deal with mankind in general. Chapters 1 through 11, mankind in general. They explain the origin of man, and they explain sin. And if the Bible is the story of God's redemption of his people, Genesis 1 through 11 tell us why redemption is necessary. And it's because mankind are a bunch of rebels. They're rebels. We're rebels. If the Bible tells us of these rebels, and then they're not able to save themselves. Men are rebels, but not able to save themselves. But praise the Lord, when man sinned, God had a plan. God had a program. You remember, Pastor Jeremy brought it out? Again, Genesis 3:15. Man sinned, but God announces his plan of redemption through the seed of the woman. God would one day send a redeemer who would bruise the head of the serpent and provide a way of salvation and restoration for man to be in right relationship with God. Praise God. Praise God. In Genesis 1 through 11, they can be broken down into four events. That's how you can remember it, right? Creation, the fall of man, and then we have the flood. And Pastor Jeremy's been preaching on that the last 3 weeks. The flood. And the last event is the Tower of Babel. The Tower of Babel. And we read about that this morning in verses 1 through 9. 1 through 9. And I want to read that. Look at Genesis 11 and let's read 1 through 9 for our text this morning. "Now the whole earth used the same language and the same words. It came about as they journeyed east that they found a plain in the land of Shinar and settled there. They said to one another, 'Come, let us make bricks and burn them thoroughly.' And they used bricks for stone and they used tar for mortar. They said, 'Come, let us build for ourselves a city and a tower whose top will reach into heaven, and let us make for ourselves a name. Otherwise, we will be scattered abroad over the whole face of the earth.' The Lord came down to see the city and the tower which the sons of men had built. And the Lord said, 'Behold, they are one people. They all have the same language, and this is what they began to do. And now nothing which they purpose to do will be impossible for them. Come, let us go down and confuse their language so that they will not understand one another's speech.' So the Lord scattered them abroad from there over the face of the whole earth, and they stopped building the city. Therefore, its name is called Babel, because there the Lord confused the language of the whole earth, and from there the Lord scattered them abroad over the face of the whole earth. Folks, from this text, what we learn is when God is left out of the picture, it always leads to disastrous results. Always. So first look with me at Babel. Babel shows us a picture of leaving God out. It's a picture of leaving God out. And in this picture, I think we have really three snapshots. Three snapshots that show us this. First of all, Babel is a snapshot of secular society. Secular society. A society that leaves God out. Verse 1 says that now the whole earth used the same language and the same words. Literally, the whole earth, all mankind, was of, this is the Hebrew, one lip and of one set of words. One lip and one set of words. There was only one language, one vocabulary, one dictionary. Verse 2 states that they journeyed east and found a plain in the land of Shinar and settled there. Folks, this is in direct rebellion against God, because God had told Noah and his children, as recorded in Genesis 9:1, quote, be fruitful and multiply, fill the earth. He told them to multiply, scatter across the earth. But man decided to remain together in blatant rebellion against God and to build a city and to dwell and settle down there. Now, I want you to note, look at verses 3 and 4. I want you to note several things about those verses. First of all, note there's no mention of God. There's no mention of God in those verses. Folks, he is conspicuous by his absence. This is the first attempt of man to establish a godless civilization. It's the first attempt of man to establish a godless society. Derek Kidner, in his commentary entitled Genesis, states, in the Bible, this city increasingly came to symbolize the godless society with its pretensions, Genesis 11, persecutions, Daniel chapter 3, pleasures and sins and superstitions, Isaiah 47, and its riches and eventual doom, Revelation 17 and 18. No mention of God. But note also, there's much mention of man. Much mention of man. Note the repeated use of the pronouns here. In verses 3 and 4, us, they, us, ourselves, we. If you have the King James Version, you will note that five times us, little pronoun us, is used. God is conspicuous by his absence. Man is conspicuous by his presence. By his presence. Man here is at work. Man here is at the center. Man is functioning, doing his thing, but leaving God out of the picture. Note also something. God is not mentioned. Man is much mentioned. Man here is putting himself in the place of God. Note the words, let us make. Do you see them there? Let us make. Do those words bring anything to mind? Do you remember what God said back in Genesis 1:26? Let us make man in our own image and in our own likeness. Now man is saying, let us make, using the same words. Come, let us make bricks. Come, let us build for ourselves. Otherwise, we'll be scattered abroad over the whole face of the earth. Man's leaving God out, but he's putting man in the place of God. What that's called, folks, is secular humanism. It's leaving God out, but putting man in the place of God. If you go to the secular humanist website, you will find words like these written, quote, "The Council for Secular Humanism is North America's leading organization for non-religious people. The council supports a wide range of activities to meet the needs of people who find meaning and value in life without looking to a God. The Council for Secular Humanism campaigns for more secular society. It presents the case for understanding the world without reference to a God and works to separate church and state and defend the rights of people who do not accept religious beliefs. The Council for Secular Humanism promotes rational, human-based viewpoints on important social and ethical issues. In particular, it tackles issues where traditional religion obstructs the right to self-determination. For example, freedom of choice in sexual relationships, reproduction, and voluntary euthanasia." End of quote. Basically, secular humanism is viewing life and living life and leaving God out of the picture and putting man in the place of God. Man determines what's right and wrong. Man is the captain of his own fate. And God, that's the God of the Bible, is left out of the picture. Humanism puts man in the center and in the place of God. And you can remember it like this. Humanism. H-U-M-A-N-I-S-M. Man is in the center. Secular society, secular humanism. And what does this lead to? I'll tell you what it leads to. It leads to chaos. We're going to talk about that later. It leads to all kinds of sexual perversion. It leads to to a utilitarian type of ethic. If it works for me, then it's okay. But what it leads to, it leads to pride. It leads to pride. Do you see what it says here in verse 4? Come, let us build a city for ourselves. For ourselves. And a tower whose top will reach to heaven, and let us make for ourselves a name. It's all about me. It's all about me, man. The world centers around me. Do we see that any place today? Do you see that anywhere today? We don't want God in our government. Separation of church and state. We don't want God in our courts. Several years back, they took 10 commandments. Take them out of the courtroom. We don't want God in our schools. We don't want God in our society. Take under God out of the pledge. We don't want God in. Some people don't even want God in Christmas anymore. Did you know that? Happy holidays, by the way. Warm wishes. We've substituted man. I got an email from my bank several years ago. And here's what it said. It showed a little boy holding a world in his hand. And the text read on this email. It showed a picture. Little boy holding the world. It said the name of the bank, and then it said, this, the world should revolve around you. Reward yourself with the MasterCard World Points Reward Card. Reward yourself today, a rewards program that absolutely puts you first. You know what that is? That's secular humanism. That's a secular society that leaves God out. The emphasis is on man and not on God. And if your emphasis is on man and not on God, you got the wrong emphasis on the wrong syllable. We see here a picture of secular society. But there's another snapshot. We see a snapshot. Babel is a snapshot of spurious spirituality. It's a snapshot of false and substitute religion. When man leaves God out, then begins to, he substitutes man in the place of God, secular humanism. You know what? It's not long before, you know, if a man's all wrapped up in himself, it's a what? Very small package. And before long, when you have secular humanism, you find out, man, there's got to be more than this. There must be something more. So man then seeks something more than himself, and Satan is always there to provide a false god or a false substitute religion. It states in the text, let's build a tower whose top will reach to heaven, verse 4. This tower, they believe, is what is called a ziggurat. Not a cigarette, a ziggurat, Z. Archaeologists have found these all over. They're towers. They've excavated a number of these, and they tell us primary reason for the construction was religious purposes. Some ziggurats were round, some were squares, some are like pyramids. You have a picture of one on the front of your bulletin. And that's what a ziggurat looked like. And all of them had runways, though, on the outside leading up to the top. And on the top of the ziggurats, they had special shrines dedicated to gods and goddesses. And the people carried on worship of false gods, the sun, the moon. They had zodiacs on the top of the ziggurats. Thus, the building of the Tower of Babel is man's first recorded attempt, organized attempt, to get to God by man's own effort. We'll build a tower whose top will reach into heaven, and we will worship our God on our terms. They named the place Babel. You know what it means? Gate of God. Gate of God. That's what they named it. Here you have the beginning of organized human religion. Here, all religions apart from true Christianity find their origin. All religions other than true biblical Christianity are man trying to work his way to heaven by his own efforts. Everyone. If you're Buddhist, just keep the Eightfold Path and you'll get to heaven, or their concept of heaven. If you're Hindu, just do your yoga and your meditation. And I'm going to stop right there and I'm going to say something because I think it needs to be said. If you're a Christian, there's no place for yoga. Amen. Listen to me. I've talked to Christians, we don't do the Hindu stuff. We don't do the meditating on their gods. We even think about Scripture. You cannot mix Christianity with yoga. Syncretism doesn't work. But they think if I just get in these positions in yoga and I meditate and have my mantra, I'll make it. I'll be absorbed into Brahman and I'll make it to heaven. If you're Muslim, it's the five pillars of Islam. If I do these five pillars, I will get to paradise. Others think, if I just keep the Ten Commandments, if I just go to church enough, if I go through some kind of a ritual, I'll then work my way to heaven. Wrong! That's what all religions of the world say. But Christianity says we can't build enough, high enough, climb high enough. We can't do anything to get to heaven on our own. That's why God came down in the person of Jesus. Praise God. That's the difference between Christianity and every religion of the world. You see, Babylon is, quote, the mother of all harlots and abominations of the earth. Mike, does that ring a bell to you, brother? Yeah, Revelation chapter 5. Babylon is the mother, the beginning of all harlots and abominations on the earth. Do you see how God views false religion? God views false religion as a prostitute or a harlot that's trying to steal hearts away from him. She's the mother of all harlots and abominations. All false religions say, build that tower. If you build long enough and high enough and climb up on the top will be in heaven and you will make it. Wrong. That's wrong. All false religions say, work your way up to God. But the Bible says, no way can a man work his way up to God. You can't work enough. You can't build high enough. You can't climb high enough to get to God. That's why Jesus came down in God, even to a rebellious people. He came down in the person of Jesus. And because man was a sinner and could never be good enough to get to heaven, Jesus went to the cross. Jesus went to the cross to die on the cross so we can be forgiven and so that we can have a way to get back into right relationship with him through faith, through trusting Christ's work on the cross, that he died for our sins, that he rose from the dead. And when we cry out, Lord, save me, he'll come into our hearts and give us what we could never earn for ourselves. You see, folks, and you know this, but all other religions of the world say, do, 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 do. And Christianity says, done. Christianity says, done. It is finished. It is finished indeed. Isn't that wonderful? Praise God. Praise the Lord. Jesus said, it is finished. You see, not the labor of my hands can fulfill thy law's demands. Could my zeal no respite know? Could my tears forever flow? All for sin could not atone. Thou must save, and thou alone. And he did it. He did it. If you leave God out, if you leave Christ out, there's no other way to get to heaven. There's no other way to get to heaven. See, this is a picture of secular society. It is a picture of spurious spirituality. But it's also, thirdly, it's a snapshot of a satanic system. A satanic system. The man who instigated this rebellion against God, we heard last week, his name is Nimrod. Nimrod. In Genesis 10, 8 through 10, we read about him. It says, now Cush became the father of Nimrod. He became a mighty one on the earth. He was a mighty hunter before the Lord. The beginning of his kingdom was Babel. Nimrod was his name. Now, I don't know if we know for certain what that name means, but there are commentators who believe that his name means we will revolt. Isn't that interesting? We will revolt. The inference is that this man was actually from birth groomed to lead an organized, planned rebellion against God and his purposes for mankind. It states that he was a mighty hunter. Now, Morris, in his commentary, says that he had acquired a hero's reputation by protecting the population against wild beasts. Others, though, suggest that he was a hunter of men. And he was the founder of a military state based on force. The text says he was a hunter before God. But do you see that? Before the Lord? That phrase also in the Hebrew can be translated against the Lord. He was against the Lord. He was against God. He was anti-God. And you know what? If you're anti-God, you're anti-Christ. Antichrist. The beginning of his kingdom was Babel. He led a revolt against the Lord. He led the people into secular humanism. He led the people into false religion. But this is a picture, folks, of a coming satanic system. A coming satanic system. Recorded in the book of the Revelation that Pastor Mike has been teaching on in our Sunday school. It's called Mystery Babylon. Mystery Babylon. It too will have a leader who is Antichrist. In fact, the Antichrist, who will lead the final rebellion against God. His secular economic system will be used to further his causes. His false religious system will also be used to bolster support. And the false religious system called the Great Harlot will ride the beast. Ride the beast. He will support that false church until his purposes are fulfilled. Then he'll turn on that system called the Great Harlot, turn on that religious system, and it'll be destroyed. And he will demand everybody, worship me. And if you don't take the mark on the back of your hand or on your forehead, what's that mark? 666. You will not be able to buy or sell. Do you see how that could happen today? We are seeing prophecy being prepared and the world being prepared for the coming of Jesus Christ right now. Right now. The false satanic system, comprised of an economic and a spiritual wing, is called Mystery Babylon the Great. And that system leaves the true God out of the picture. Finally, in Revelation 17 and 18, we read of the demise of the false system. Fallen, fallen is Babylon the Great. In chapter 17 of Revelation, the religious Babylon comes down. And in chapter 18, the economic Babylon comes crashing down. Listen to this. The global economy. I remember when that word first surfaced. Do you remember that? With Bush Sr.? He was the first one to talk about globalism. That global economy that leaves God out will come down. Not in 1 year. Not in 1 month. Not in 1 day, but in 1 hour. It's going to come crashing down. Mystery Babylon. I'm going to tell you, in this section of Scripture, verses 1 through 9 of chapter 11 of Genesis, we have a snapshot of a secular society. We have a snapshot of spurious spirituality, and we have a snapshot of the coming satanic system. And it all leaves God out. And wait a second. When you leave God out of the picture, it always leads to what? Disastrous results. So look with me now at Babel. It shows us the results of leaving God out. The results of leaving God out. Look at verse 5. Let me first ask the question. Is God concerned about what happens down here on this planet? It's amazing. That blows my mind. I don't know if it blows your mind. I think of this in my quiet time. Why would you even listen to me, Lord? I am a little speck. I am animated dust on a little speck in space. Why would you even be concerned about us here today? Is he? He is. He is. The Lord came down to see the city and the tower which the sons of men had built. Verse 6, the Lord said, this is the Trinity, by the way. This is the Trinity speaking in communication. Behold, they are one people, and they all have the same language, and this is what they have began to do, and now nothing which they purpose to do will be impossible for them. God saw that the unity of mankind would only give people false sense of power, and that would lead them into greater rebellion against God. So he had to bring judgment on them. What are the results when you leave God out? Let me give you four of them. First of all, it results in confusion and chaos. Confusion and chaos. God confused their languages. Some suggest that different languages developed around the world slowly. The Bible states that all different languages came about instantaneously. Now, different dialects may have developed, but all the major language groups came instantaneously. Because of this, and I'm really upset about this, as I thought about this, because of this, I had to take French in high school. And when I went to seminary, I had to take Greek and Hebrew. And it's all because of this rebellion. I mean, it was all Greek to me anyhow. You talk about confusion. It was definitely confusion. But they called their city, you know what they called their city? The Gate of God. You know what God called it? They called it B-A-B-E-L, Babel, the Gate of God. God called it Babel, B-A-B-A-L, confusion. Confusion. You see, the Gate of God became the door of confusion. And when you leave God out, it always leads to confusion. When you leave God out of society, you get what we're getting right now. You get people that don't even know if they're a man or a woman. That's sad. I don't say that, jokingly or lightly. That's sad. You get 112 gender orientations. You talk about confusion. And they're teaching it to our kids. You leave God out, you get confusion in people's lives and families. You get confusion in our schools. You see what's going on in our schools? The confusion, the chaos. It brings total confusion. That's what happens when you leave God out. Well, it also results in broken communications. Broken communications. They talked, but nobody could understand it. I want you to picture this. Here they are. There's one language. People said, well, what was that language? We don't know, but it may have been Hebrew. Because the names mentioned before the flood kind of have Hebrew meanings. So it may have been Hebrew. So I'm glad I did take Hebrew. Because when we get to we'll all know then. Praise God. But you know what? Can you imagine here, everybody speaking the same language, then all of a sudden, everybody's speaking a language, nobody has a clue what they're saying. I went to the store, I went down to Acme on Friday night to pick up some things, And there was an Indian family from India there. And they were talking, and I had no clue what they were saying. And I thought, can you imagine a whole, like, thousands of people, and nobody knows what anybody's saying? And everybody keeps on talking. They can understand it, but nobody else can understand it. Broken communication. No one knew what the other was saying. When you leave God out, communications break down. I can say this. Over my 43 years of being a pastor, and I have counseled numerous couples, the greatest problem that I've seen with couples, married couples, is a lack of communication or breakdown in communication. And that is one of the chief reasons that people divorce, because they can't communicate. You know what? That happens when you leave God out. Did you ever watch any of the Senate hearings or anything? And there's no communication. I mean, they talk a lot, but nobody understands what anybody else is saying. That's what happens when you leave God out. Communications break down. The third thing that happens, it results in division. It results in division. So the Lord scattered them abroad from there over the face of the whole earth. Now that was God's original plan, right? That was God's original plan for them to fill the whole earth. But he had to force them to do it. He had to force them to do it. And they were divided. Listen, they were divided not only geographically, the way God had planned, but they were divided socially, ethnically, and racially. And you know what? When you leave God out, you get divisions. You get divisions in a country. Now, this was on the news, and I saw it on Fox News, but I think this could, they would confirm this on CNN and MSNBC. This country has never been this, the only time this country has been close to being divided like it is today is prior to the Civil War. There's division. There's division. That's what happens when you leave God out. A nation, and a nation, a house divided against itself cannot stand. I think Jesus said that. I think Abraham Lincoln said it, but I think he got it from Jesus. Division. Division in families. Again, I've never seen, and again, there's always been division, but I've never seen where husbands and wives are divided. I have never seen where children are divided from their parents, won't even talk to their parents. Or parents won't have anything to do with their kids. And it's all over. It is all over. Families being divided. Churches. There's hardly, I'm just going to say a week, hardly a month go by that I don't hear of another church that is divided. Amen. What's this all about? When you leave God out, it leads to division. That's what happens. It results in confusion and chaos, broken communication, division, and finally, it results in frustration. Frustration. And they stopped building the city. Rex's tower is still there. An unfinished city. An unfinished tower a monument to man when he leaves God out. It all ends in frustration and futility. When you leave God out of the picture, not sometimes, not even most of the time, it always leads to disastrous results. So I've got to ask, have you left God out of the picture? Have you left God out of your life? Have you received Christ as your Savior? Have you come to the place where you have believed in Christ and received Him as your Savior and invited Him into your life and been saved? Have you been trying to build that tower? Have you been trying to save yourself and be good enough and build high enough? You can't do it. You have to receive Christ as your Savior. He is the only way to God. The cross is the only way to have your sins forgiven and to not work your way to heaven, be taken to heaven by grace. His gift. Have you left God out? Oh, don't do that. It will lead to disastrous results. If you leave God out, that's the road that leads to hell. And that's disastrous results. But now I want to ask the question, have you left God out? You know, most of us probably, I know you have a relationship with the Lord. But have you left Him out? I've been busy lately, Pastor. It's just go, go, go. I've been trying to do things for you. Have you left Him out? Because it's when Christians start leaving God out that, oh my, it leads to disastrous results. Where are you with the Lord? Is He far? No, I'm not asking, is He present in your life? I'm not even asking, is He prominent in your life? Is He preeminent in your life? Is He number one in your life? Are you spending time with Him? Are you getting to know Him and love Him and worship Him? Or have you been leaving God out? Maybe you need to make a decision. Lord, today, I'm not going to leave You out anymore. You're number one. You're number one. Would you say this with me? When God is left out of the picture, it always leads to disastrous results. Oh God, help us, I pray, Lord. I pray for anyone in the hearing of these words that needs to receive You as their Savior. I thank You, O Lord, that You died for our sins. You paid for every last sin. You paid the full cost of our sins. You paid it all, no copay. You rose from the dead. And I would just say to that one, if you believe that, if you put your trust in Jesus, and just right now say, Lord, I believe, come into my life. I call on the name of the Lord. Save me, Lord. He will come in and change your life and give you the greatest gift of Christmas ever, a relationship with Him that will last throughout eternity. Lord, grant grace. Grant the faith right now for those to believe. And Lord, maybe for us that have maybe left you out a little bit, Lord, help us now to make you preeminent, to submit to you and to seek you while you may be found. Help us, dear Lord. We love you, Lord. We thank you. We praise you today. And we pray this in Jesus' name. Amen.